Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege, it's just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. We all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Congratulations, you are living in a backwards movie. This is Wretched Radio. What happens, Jimmy Jam, when you watch Finding Nemo backwards?
What happens?
Thanks for asking. A fish and his son travel back from Australia just in time to see a shark spit out his wife and children. Well, see that now it's a very nice tale. So, too, would be Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory if you watched it backwards. A factory owner rescues a series of children and saves the town's economy by hiring local workers and employees. That's what happens when you watch a movie backwards, and that is the movie that you and I are currently living in. What is true is now false, and vice versa. You and I look at the narrative that God is writing, and it makes perfect sense. Here you see the depravity of man. Here you see good behavior. Here you see some foundational truths that help a society behave better and function better and provide greater human flourishing. That is not the way unbelievers currently see the world. And if you and I do not, I don't want to say get used to it because I don't think we want to get used to this because it's upside down, but unless we are aware that virtually everything we are seeing these days is backwards, you're going to go bonkers. You are going to continue to see political activity. You are going to hear one lie after another. You are going to see one effort to presumably improve the world when it does the exact opposite. And if we do not at least realize, why is this happening here? Why are we regressing with our thinking? I think you and I, our heads could crack open like melons, and we will get extremely crabby. We will become glum. We will become like godless people. They are an unhappy sort. They are striving. They are looking for things to make them satisfied and content, to bring them peace, and nothing but Jesus Christ can. And so they're never satisfied. They're never content. You can approve, you can give a hearty endorsement to every one of their sinful proclivities, and they're still not going to be happy. Why? Because they're not living the way that God designed the planet to run and for them to operate. And anytime you run contrary to the instruction manual of the Creator, you're going to be miserable. And so it is that people who are godless will be increasingly unhappy if they continue trying to write reality for themselves. They will be bucking against God's system, and it is bound to bring, and that is why you typically see it, don't you? That you go to a liberal convention, it doesn't seem very happy. Everybody's complaining about everything. And if you and I aren't careful, I think we could become the exact same prototype. We could just fall right into that pattern. All the politicians are lying. Mainstream media, it's just constantly lying. What? That's not the way that it is. You're kidding me. No, that's the opposite of. And if we focus on that without at least understanding why this is happening, we're going to be in Crabbyville. I'm telling you, we will be as miserable and unhappy as they are. Carl Truman helping us to understand one of, and there are more than one player, but this probably is the big player these days that is causing so much of what you see in the political realm, social realm, Hollywood realm, university realm, corporate realm. That's now a realm. I never thought it would be a power center, but it is, where industries buy onto a worldview, and unless you adhere to it as a corporation, you're on the wrong side of history, and you could be canceled, you could be boycotted, people are going to do business with you, and so you need to maintain whatever is the current, quote, progressive, even though we know it's regressive, progressive worldview. And so they impose it on people. And we are seeing this so consistently. Frankly, there's barely one realm that is still standing that bucks against the current trends in all of these different authority centers. And that is the church. And even the church is starting to invite in the worldview that is causing this upside down thinking. It is, of course, critical theory. I know. We've talked about it a lot, and I'll be honest with you, as weary as I am, frankly, from the subject, it's the biggie. Seriously, this is the worldview that is going to storm through Western civilization and flip every single table upside down. Carl Truman, Evangelicals and Race Theory, How It Is That We Evangelicals Are Dealing With This Subject, very helpful. Critical theory, whatever form it takes, relies on the concept of false consciousness. False consciousness. The notion that oppressors control society so completely that the oppressed believe their own interests are served by the status quo. Carl Truman, he's way smarter than I am. I don't know if he's smarter than you are, but this guy is aces smart. But he's worth the tough sledding because he gives us insight into why the world is making the decisions that it is, why it lies with impunity, obsessively almost. Case in point, you don't need to watch mainstream media for more than a minute to go, well, wait, you're talking like that now. Why don't you talk like that when your guys are doing that? It's a politician. It's people. They identify one thing on their side as this, but when it happens on the other side, it's that. Why? Because critical theory is invading every realm of our society. Critical theory, whatever form it takes, relies on the concept of false consciousness. In other words, they see the world differently. Their film is running backwards. The notion that the oppressors control society so totally that the oppressed believe their own interests are served by the status quo. In other words, you might see somebody, for instance, we'll use racial issues because that is a biggie. If somewhere in media, a black person says that they agree with conservative politics, how do progressives respond to that? Well, they will call that person either an Uncle Tom, nasty, or they will see, that just proves it. See, that person is so oppressed, sometimes they actually side with the oppressors. Consider what that does. It shuts down any difference of opinion. What a handy little device they have concocted. We continue with Carl Truman. This is a wonderful idea. It allows every piece of evidence that might refute one's theory to be transformed into further evidence of how deep and comprehensive the problem of oppression is. So if somebody who is supposedly in the oppressed group agrees with the oppressor group, so defined, that's how bad the oppression is. It just proves what we've been saying all along, and that there are just two types of people, oppressor and oppressed. This totally steals away any opportunity for dissent, a differing opinion, or a conversation about the subject. If factory workers buy houses in the suburbs and vote for Republicans, that's not a fact that requires rethinking Marx's theories. No, it's a sign of how powerful bourgeois ideology has become. Are you tracking with Carl? So if you, the bourgeois division, you've got the proletariat and the bourgeois. The bourgeois are the oppressors. The rich folks, they oppress. And if somebody in the proletariat, the oppressed group, buys a house in the suburbs, you know, trying to kind of improve their life, it doesn't mean, therefore, that you should reconsider that there are only two classes and there's no way up any sort of social ladder, that you can't climb your way out of your current situation and move up. No. See, it just proves how powerful the bourgeoisie are. What are you to do with this? It is a no-win situation. They do not look at what is reality and watch the movie. No, they're watching the movie backwards. Everything is sideways. Everything is squirting out in a different direction. And if you and I can at least go, okay, I've got it. I know why this happens. Their father tells them to do these things, encourages them to think this way. And no wonder why they lie and everything is just squirting out absolutely wrong. It's because the father of lies loves to lie and his children lie. And you and I cannot be surprised anymore. This might help you if you're currently going ballistic, maybe bonkers with what's happening, say, in the political realm, the social realm, what's happening with morality and values at the university. I'm not saying that this is going to cause them to stop behaving backwards and thinking backwards, but it might just keep us from getting crabby and sour. I can't recall. It was some commentator that I was listening to that said, have you noticed how liberal people, they're just unhappy people? No, they're not totally unhappy, but of course they can never be totally settled because they don't have the centerpiece of their life, correct? But I think as a rule, they're lacking joy down in their heart. And if you and I aren't aware of what the father of lies is up to and how he is persuading his children to follow him, likewise, you and I are going to become crabby too. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We appreciate you. And because we appreciate you, we want to point you in the direction of one of our newest resources that's available now in the Wretched Store. It's called Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship. It's by Dr. Kenneth Boa. And this book will guide you through 3 months of daily prayers that will help your private time go to another level. You'll be guided through prayers of adoration, confession, renewal, petition, intercession, affirmation, and Thanksgiving. Dr. Kenneth Boa has done an amazing job adapting scripture and turning Bible passages into prayers that will help you come boldly into the throne room of God. I promise your quiet time and your prayer time will be transformed with this latest resource. Pick it up right now by visiting wretched.org. Again, that's Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship by Dr. Kenneth Boa at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
The Eastern Orthodox Church retains control of 80% of the population in Eastern Europe. And according to Paul Marty of Tomorrow Clubs, that ain't a good thing.
People are terrified that if they somehow cross their Orthodox priest, that he's not going to bless them. And their blessing is so important in their culture. They won't do funerals, they won't do weddings, they won't, right. They won't bless the home if they aren't behaving. They really exert a lot of control over the lives of the people.
Tomorrow Club's changing that statistic, opening up hundreds of weekly kids' meetings. They're called Tomorrow Clubs. The kids get loved on, they hear the gospel, and they learn they don't have to fear pastor and God. It's a magnificent ministry. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? Just $30 a month for 30 little disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Did you know Wretched has a brand new Bible study curriculum? Tell the truth, you didn't know. But now you do because I just told you. And listen, this Bible study curriculum is not like any that you ever encountered. The new Wretched Bible studies are interesting. They're relevant. And of course, if they're coming from Wretched, you know they're biblical. They're based on our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Herman Who, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, It's Not Greek to Me, and Road Trip to Truth. You're going to find something that's perfect for your youth group, your adult small group, and even your own personal study at home. So if you're tired of the same old, boring, wretched Bible studies, then get yourself a Wretched Bible Study. Check all of them out right now by visiting wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. I promise you're going to be pleased and you're going to wonder to yourself, why in the world did they not do this sooner? wretched.org/study.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do not panic. This is just about as hip as we are ever going to get.
But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow.
Well, maybe today you will. Not so sure about that, John. This is Wretched Radio. That, of course, was The Beatles with Revolution. It was a call to be peaceful as you go about the business of trying to change society. I'm not saying you have to dig the tune, but John Lennon actually was calling for peace as he was watching the new left go about the business of utilizing violence to try to tear down to society. He said, no, you want a revolution. We all want to change the world, but not like that. When you talk about destruction, you can count me out. You say you got a real solution? Well, we'd love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution? We'll do what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you, brother, is you'll have to wait. You say you'll change the Constitution? We'd love to change your head. You tell me it's the institution. You better free your mind instead. Wow, suddenly he's actually sounding downright conservative compared to what is going on today. And then he concludes with a reference to Chairman Mao. If you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't going to make it with anyone anyhow. But increasingly today, people are making it with Chairman Mao. They're just not using his name. They have stolen his ideologies, which have root in the same Marxist fruit, to change culture and to change society. And while you and I perhaps get a little bit tired of all the critical theory, you are bathing in it right now. The Christian who sees the world rightly, this happens, that happens, it operates like this, then that's the consequence. It is all backwards now, and if you've been pulling out your hair, perhaps you have been finding yourself talking about nothing but these people that just keep lying and ruining our culture and changing our society. Let's see if we can figure them out so that if nothing else, we don't turn into them by just being sour. Carl Truman. Compare the logic of critical race theory, that is the worldview that is being taught in universities, has been now for at least 20 years, at least. And students increasingly are learning about critical theory. Two classes of people, oppressor and oppressed, typically white, black. Doesn't seem to involve other shades of melanin. It's just white and black, and it's in the people who have got the power and the people who are being abused by the power. That's how the world is framed. Carl Truman, compare the logic of this critical race theory with Chairman Mao's infamous circular. This is 1966. This is a foundational document of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. Listen carefully. Words have slightly changed, but it is the same godless theory. If you simply substitute, when you hear the word bourgeois, that's Marxism at its core, bourgeois, the rich folks, the powerful folks, make that white in your brain. And when you hear the word class, think race, because that is how this theory has morphed. That's why it's typically called critical theory, and then fill in the blank, critical blank theory, critical justice theory, critical race theory, critical social theory, critical political theory. It's the same framework. You just substitute some words. This is from Chairman Mao. Just, by the way, I'm translating this for you. I think I pretty much nailed it. Just when we began the counteroffensive against the wild attacks of the bourgeoisie, white people, the authors of the outline raised the slogan, "Everyone is equal before the truth." Okay. That's what the bourgeois would hold on to. Everyone is equal before the truth. Truth reigns. Figure out what is true, and then everybody operates in those system, in that paradigm. This is the bourgeois slogan, said Mao, completely negating the class nature of truth. Hear that? The class nature of truth. That's what we're hearing today. truth can only be understood by the oppressed people. When it comes to justice, when it comes to history, when it comes to criminology, when it comes to morality, only the oppressed know truth. What was being taught before Mao was, no, truth is truth, and we all live within those guidelines. And here's what Mao said, and this is what exactly what we are teaching today to our kids. The bourgeois slogan completely negates the class nature of truth. They use this slogan to protect the white or bourgeoisie and oppose the proletariat, or black people, or the poor people, or the oppressed people. Oppose Marxism, Leninism, and oppose Mao Zedong's thought. In other words, Mao was a Marxist, and he was spouting critical theory, even though he probably wouldn't have used those terms. He was basically tweaking Marxism, that only people who are oppressed can really know what is true. We've got to get rid of the old truth. Is that sounding familiar? We've got to get rid of the old morality. We've got to get rid of anything that was concocted or created by the bourgeoisie, the powerful, the oppressor, or typically white people who are in power, typically males from Europe. And that means science, math, values, communication, language, all of culture as you know it, got to go. What is it? Critical theory. What is critical theory? It is redefining truth. Truth is no longer truth. Truth is defined by those people who have been hurt or oppressed. Back to Truman. Critical race theory is extremely seductive. We need to know this. Who wants to be guilty of standing on the side of the oppressors rather than in solidarity with the victims of injustice? It's true, isn't it? You take a look at the riots that happened last summer, and you go, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Truth says that's out of control. No, no, no. The new truth, as we watch culture's movie backwards, says you don't know truth. Those people who are burning down buildings, they know truth. They've determined this is justice. Therefore, it's fine. Now, this isn't going to keep you from just... But it might just keep your head from cracking open and understanding, okay, this is it. They watch the movie backwards. It's like watch the movie Jaws backwards and the shark looks quite nice. That's their reality. And this is the world that we live in. Critical theory is extremely seductive. The theory is likewise hard to oppose since it denies the legitimacy of arguments that call it into question. So this is why you saw last summer the mayor of Minneapolis saying, well, you know, maybe, you know, not quite totally defunding the police, get him. Why? You are either fully for it or you are a liar. You're the liar. You bring what we know as common sense to a conversation or, hey, could we talk about this? Nope. Off with your head because you're just totally wrong. Now, I'm not saying literally, at least not yet. That's what they did in France. We're not there yet. Mercifully, we won't be. But you get the point. You either fully buy in. The he who is not with us is against us rhetoric ensures that even tentative reservations will sound racist. And nobody wants to identify with that. You don't want to be anti-racist. Who wants to appear to deny that Black Lives Matter? And if you're, that's why it doesn't take much for you to be esteemed as racist these days. That is our critical race theory world. That is what your kids are being taught in school. Don't believe me? As we speak, the history books are being rewritten. In fact, in Minnesota, very specifically, in Minnesota, they have to every decade, they go about the business, a committee every 10 years goes through the curriculum from the Department of Education. Social studies standard is being revised right now. Here's what is no longer going to be covered in Minnesota schools, in the social studies and history books. Jimmy, could you help me with this? It's spelled W-O-R-L-D.
World.
W-A-R.
War.
And it's got an I.
One.
Huh. And then it's got two. The next one has two eyes. I don't know what that thing was anyway. I guess it could go. So could the Holocaust, I guess.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah, don't need that. Civil War, the American Revolution, communism, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. What's it being replaced with? Systemic racism in the U.S. is rooted in our founding. Developing a respectful awareness of LGBTQ community. The Reconstruction period, specifically successful efforts to disenfranchise newly freed Black Americans. An analysis of the ideology of manifest destiny and its relationship to whiteness, Christianity, and capitalism. Congratulations. This is our world. How do we counter it? You keep teaching truth. You keep preaching truth. They need a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that only comes through regeneration. Keep preaching the gospel. And as you do, to keep your head from exploding, remember, we are living in the system of the father of lies and his children. This is Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes a standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's your turn, whippersnappers. This is Wretched Radio. Two commandments in the Bible for parents. How we are supposed to train up our children in the way that they should go. We teach them about Jesus, and we don't make them nuts. There you have it. Two commandments. You apply those, and you will do well as a parent. We have spent a ton of time, I mean a totally imbalanced scale, focusing on how parents should be doing that. Teaching their kids about Jesus. Training them up to apply the word to everything. Teaching them that Christianity is not an app. It is an operating system. But now, we'd like to turn our attention to the command that is given to the child. Perhaps specifically the teenager into adult child. To honor your father and mother, it's a command with a promise. You do that, things are going to go well. Overall, as a principle, you honor your parents, life's going to be overall fine. You don't, it won't. We struggle with this notion, perhaps in the West, more than any other society on this planet, that a child is to honor father and mother into adulthood. How does a child do that? How do you go from simply being obedient? That's the early stage of childhood. The kids are just obedient. This still staggers me. Decades later, when we started having children, they just followed us everywhere. And they just did everything we did. They were like dogs. You know, dogs don't ask questions. They just, okay, here we go. Into the car. All right, we're going to go outside. Fine, we're going to go inside. Okay, where are we going? I don't care. I don't know. I'm with my pack. And that's how kids are. They don't quite talk that goofy, but they just do it. And then as they become older, they're toddling around and they get bigger and they're even starting to play games and sports and they're off to school. They do what they're told. But then they become teenagers and let the stand-up comedy routines begin. They start to get testing. They start becoming increasingly naughty. They dishonor you. They sass mouth you. They don't do what they're told. They start sneaking around. What is going on? And I would like to suggest to you, we have forgotten what it means for a child to honor father and mother. When they are teenagers, a time now that in our society, it is expected that these kids are going to be that way. It's not like, will you get those kids? No. Just wait till they get to puberty. Oh, they're adorable now. Oh, you just wait. Hold on. That is not the way that God has set this up. Furthermore, when a child gets older and they even leave the house, how are they to honor father and mother? How are they to talk to them? How are they to engage them? How are they to receive any sort of wisdom that they passed down? This will sound absolutely bonkers to you, but I do believe that it captures what is going on in our society today, even inside of Christian homes. I know a couple, lovely Christian couple. Their child had a baby. Married child had a baby. Grandparents visiting the child. Child's Nook falls. Parent picks up the Nook. Child says, "Don't judge us." What? What? Wait, what? The Nook fell to the ground. It needed to be picked up. The child saw that as parents apparently inserting their opinion where it was not invited. And it was seen as judgment. And I do not think that is a one-off. I think that that is the attitude that has been cultivated, social media, etc., in our society, and it's infected Christian kids. And this is why this has stuck with me, and frankly, in my craw. For years, Dennis Prager, the Jewish conservative talk show host, when he would travel around the country, the people would queue up to say, "My kids won't talk to me anymore. My kids won't listen to me. The kids were separated. The kids were fighting. The kids, they're just..." And he noticed that it is a trend. And I agree with that trend. And I think it is simply because we have not taught our kids what it means to honor father and mother. And we as a church, forget culture. They're kicking against the goads on this one. They teach the kids question authority. You need to have your own mind. And then you've got people like Planned Parenthood and Teen Vogue that are teaching them how to do it. You've got the government schools going, "Oh, no, 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 no. We know what's best for the kids. We're going to teach them sex ed, not you, and you're not going to stop them, and you can't opt them out." What is the message to the kid? I'm my own autonomous being, and I do not have to submit to my parents. I do not need to honor them. And what do we do in the church to counter that? Virtually nothing. Virtually nothing. Now, do I realize that this commandment from God could get sorely abused? That children will be seen and not heard until I'm dead. Sure, it could. I don't think we're anywhere near that. So let me tug from the far side to maybe pull us over to some semblance of balance here and to encourage one another, to help one another in this endeavor, because I don't think a parent can do it alone. It doesn't take a village. It takes a church to raise a child, in that the child we'll hear other voices besides parents singing from the same song sheet, singing the same tune. Honor your father and mother. You should obey them. You should honor them. Now, we'll tackle how to do that into adulthood, because that's the tricky season, isn't it? But this has got to start before puberty kicks in. It's got to start. We really need to start teaching our kids in our churches, from the pulpit, in Sunday school, in youth group, honor them. No lip, that's dishonoring. No eye rolling, that's dishonoring. And it goes beyond just simply modifying behavior. You need to see them as a gift from God. They are just plain smarter than you. Gulp it down. Take your medicine. It will do you good. Admit, mom and dad have been around the block at least once, and I haven't even left the house yet. They have experienced these things. They are wiser than you. They have your safety in view. You need to know something about yourself. You can be impetuous. You can be reckless, and they're going to keep you from danger. Honor them. Honor them. Thank them when they say, "No, you're not going to go to that party." Thank you, mom and dad. Thank you. That's so much different than, "Duh, man." Now, even if in their hearts they're grateful for it, that's not honoring. A child should see the parent as a marble statue. Just you're carved into the Mount Rushmore of positive influences in your life. Honoring them beyond, don't just sass mouth. Don't just not... Don't just not do a half job. Wow, my parents are such a blessing. Now, that brings us back to the two commandments for parents. And that is why, as I think through this parenting thing more and more, God is absolutely brilliant. You try to tell me what two rules can better help you keep your house organized than teach your kids about Jesus and don't make them bonkers. It covers so much. You're supposed to be teaching them what Jesus is like. You are supposed to be modeling Jesus and not making them nuts. That just covers everything. So you don't, yeah, that's right. You better believe it. I'm on the Mount Rushmore of parents, Pally boy. Yeah, you know what? Let me tell you, when I was 14, let me tell you, I had a paper route, 200 homes. You know how much I was making? And this is back in the 70s, Pally boy. You're making them nuts. Don't do that. Be worthy of honor. That's the ping pong match here. They honor, you behave worthy of honor, and your home will be sweet. And if we do not start cultivating this idea into our kids immediately, I think your home is going to be the typical sitcom with the teenager who sulks through. It's the caricature kid. They're not doing their homework. They're being lazy. Their room's a mess. They got smelly gym shoes. Got a sullen attitude. Ha, ha, ha. Insert soundtrack. Laugh track, please. Wrong, wrong, wrong. We as a church must start getting this message out. Why? Because I see so many hurting families, so many struggling families, and we are not experiencing the joy that a sweet household should be, the cultivation of a sweet home. I think J.R. Miller wrote about this. Just I walk in and there does not need to be banana bread in the oven for me to go, oh, it's good to be, it's good to be here. Mom and Dad, we need to start teaching our kids to honor parents before they start behaving in ways that are dishonoring. And church, we need to help one another. We need to get this message out, and we need to start taking sermon messages and applying them to kids honoring parents. And then for those kids and for all of us who are no longer under the authority of parents, how do we honor our parents? What does that look like? I would like to make the case radical. Absolutely radical, that will be absolutely blissful. Next on Wretched Radio. What does a young lady experiencing a crisis pregnancy sound like?
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
Everybody wanted her to have an abortion, but she visited a preborn life center, saw a free ultrasound of her baby.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
80% of the time, a woman in crisis sees an image of her child via a free ultrasound at a preborn center, they choose life. How many lives could you save per month? The answer is double. During the month of May, Preborn has received a generous gift of matching grants. Every dollar you give to Preborn will be matched. So $28 for an ultrasound will now provide two ultrasounds. How many lives could you save? Visit preborn.org/wretched.
Like a lot of believers, you may be wondering how you can incorporate heartfelt worship into your private devotion times. Well, I want to introduce you to the newest resource available in the Wretched Store. It's called Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship, and it's by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Face to Face is perfect for anybody who wants to get more personal and more intimate in their private times with the Lord. And what better way to do that than actually praying God's Word back to Him? Face to Face will walk you through an accurate and biblical and intimate approach to doing just that. With prayers like, "You, Lord, are in your holy temple. You are on your heavenly throne. You observe all people. Your eyes examine them." Prayers like these will bring richness to your devotion times by connecting God's Word to your personal prayer time, and you'll learn to approach both in a new and meaningful way. Visit wretched.org/face to pick up your copy right now. wretched.org/face.
Yes, you want to save money because, after all, you're a Christian and that's what we want to do, save money, but never at the expense of our family's health and peace of mind should a family member fall ill. That is why I'd like to commend you MediShare, the gold standard of healthcare sharing. You will save on average $500 per month as a family. How much will you save? It takes 2 minutes. 844-34-BIBLE. And if you think this isn't very good, you get free telehealth services with MediShare, a huge network of doctors with MediShare, and great customer support. And fellow Christians will pray for you. MediShare, 400,000 members strong. Peace of mind and savings. Simply call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary, and controlled, and they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature, and his wrath has been settled on the cross. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. This is Wretched Radio. If you were writing a parenting manual, I doubt that you would come up with three commandments that will make a home sweet always. You couldn't do it, but God did. Mom and Dad, teach your kids about Jesus. Don't make them bonkers. Kids, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. That's it. Those are the three laws that will not just keep a household in order, it will cultivate sweetness forever. The home has a realm of authority, mother and father. And kids are, yes, to obey, but there are more. We are to honor authority. Honor it. That's not just, fine, I'll do it. I love it. I'm so glad that I've got this authority in my life. I honor those people. They are great people. They are a blessing from God. That is the command to a child. And if we in any way get away from that, it's gonna go sideways on you. And your Western civilization tells you to do this a different way. That you get out of the house as fast as you can. You get away from those people. And you start living as if they have no authority over you as fast as you possibly can. So you can live autonomously. And we sometimes perhaps look at other cultures and we go, head scratch, what's going on there? For instance, the Asian community. I can't tell you how many times people have gone, that Asian family in our neighborhood, the grandparents live there. You don't say. What's going on? The grandparents are honored and the grandparents are taken care of. I'm not even saying this is motivated by Christian thinking, by a biblical worldview. That's just the way that they do it in their culture. And what happens there? Grandparents are taken care of. Mom and dad are honored and the kids honor both of those authorities. And we look at it and go, well, that's just not the way we do it here. You know, it's just, you know, and those Asian parents, they're all over their kids. Right? Now, I'm not saying that that can't be overbearing also, hence the commandment to not make your kids bonkers. God balances this out beautifully. But he tells us in the home, this is how it's going to run. When it gets particularly tricky is when the kids now leave the home or they run off to university. The dynamic shifts, and it should, because we are not raising children. We're raising adults from the second they're born. We're training them up to be adults, and so we want them to increasingly make decisions, good ones and bad ones. But they must honor parents even as they do, and if we don't, and if we don't radically shift the way that we are viewing this, Western civilization is going to continue to have its way in the hearts of our children, and we are going to see more divisions between parent and child. We already are. And that relationship should be sweet. It should be wonderful. I'm telling you, I know it. I see it. Yeah, we got an issue with our kids. They're fill in the blank. They're buying a car. They're thinking about moving. They're thinking about taking a job. They're going to make a purchase decision. And, wow, their thinking is really terrible. And I did that same thing when I was 17, and I just, I can't tell them. I can't say anything. If I do, it'll just, Thanksgiving will be ruined. I can't do that. Or you'll hear when you're out having perhaps a salad with a lady friend. Oh, we just, okay, so this is what we're doing with our adult kids. We tried to drop the hint that maybe, you know, having some sort of financial plan would be a good idea, but they got really, really upset. So we decided to wait like 6 weeks before we said anything else about it. What is wrong with this picture? I'll tell you what it is. They're not honoring mom and dad. This covers, this smashes the Western system. It also, by the way, smashes from a different angle the Eastern system, where mom and dad can play an overbearing role. No, the Christian role, the Christian relationship has balance to it. But I think increasingly in Christian homes and Western civilizations, children are not honoring parents. They're not honoring them. You should be able to say to your 30-year-old child, son, I've noticed you're buying a lot of stuff. Explain to me how that's working out. Dog, back off! Back off! We're not coming. That's it. I'm not going to come here and take this. What in the world is that? I'll tell you what it is. The kid doesn't honor mom and dad. Now, does that mean that the adult child needs to do what mom and dad say? No. It doesn't, but they need to honor it, and they need to see it as a gift. This isn't neutrality commandment. This is honor, esteem, look up to, give deference to, think that they know better because they do. Yes, I know there's exceptions. We're talking about the rule here. Tim Challies, he talks about six practical ways to honor your parents. Honoring parents is a form of honoring all authority, including God himself. So if you've got an adult kid who does not honor you, they're probably not honoring the Lord. This is really basic. They can see you. And if they can't get down with honoring you, they're not honoring the Lord, most likely. There will be temptations to say, yeah, but you don't know my parents. You don't know who they are, what they did to me. Fair enough. Let's leave that aside for a moment. We're talking about God's command. How do you honor your parents as an adult child? One, forgive them. Yep, they made unwise decisions, unrealistic expectations. They helicoptered you, said things, did things, wounded you. Forgive them. And I mean it. Forgive them. It's done. Number two, speak well of them. Let me tell you about Rita and Harry. You know, he's wearing this, he takes off his socks to put on his Birkenstocks, and you can see the sock line around his ankle. That's Harry, telling you, drooling in his rocking chair. That's what Harry. You're an adult. You still honor your mom and dad by speaking well of them, not speaking evil of them. In the Old Testament, the penalty for cursing parents was the same as assaulting them. Exodus 21:15-17, because the root is the same. Speak well while they're alive. Speak well of them when they're dead. Speak well of them to your siblings, to your spouses, to your children. Speak well of them to your churches and communities, modeling a countercultural kind of honor and respect that has been missing for far too long. How do you talk about your mom and dad? How do you talk about them? Are they the brunt of jokes, even in front of them? You know, Mom, always burning. Did you burn it again this year? Is the turkey going to be dry again this year, Ma? You are not honoring your parents. Honor them. See them as a gift from God. Number three, esteem them publicly and privately. From Challies, Tim Challies. You don't realize how important it is to give them credit where you can. You don't realize how critical it is to just say, you know, everything I really learned about saving money, I learned it from you. Would that kill you? You know, Dad, that was one thing that you taught me. I am so grateful for that. Simple things that can bring joy and honor to your parents. We can give them such esteem privately, one-on-one conversation, or you can do it publicly through speeches or sermons, conversations around holiday feasts. Dennis Rainey goes so far as to call children to write a formal tribute to their parents, to present it to them, and to read it aloud in their parents'. Oh, come on! That is Western civilization corrupting our kids and our adult brains. This should be like, I can't believe I didn't think of this. There is so much that I could say about my parents that is so wonderful. And if this, by the way, if this attitude isn't cultivated from right outside of the womb, it's going to be very unnatural. Western civilization, mock your parents. Bible, honor them. Why don't you write a speech about your parents? When's their anniversary? Would you write a speech and deliver it? You'd be honoring them. Seek their wisdom. Seek it when faced with major decisions. They know stuff. You're going to be buying a house. They've already bought a house. Ask them. Do you have to do everything? Do you have to pick the White House versus the Blue House? Nope. But you sure should listen to them, and you would do well to seek them out. They will give you better advice than people that you just work with. You'll ask people at work, hey, let me show you on the website. This house or this house. What do you think, man? Okay. And they're just going to go, yeah, I dig that one. Yeah, no, that one's cool. Your mom and dad, no, they love you to the core, and they are going to give you the most thoughtful advice possible. Support them. Not just financially, but in old age. Support them. That is a way to honor them. 6. Provide for them when they are old. So this is different. You can help them just through life, providing for them, helping them along the way as they get older. They maybe don't have the budget that they once did. And then when they can't take care of themselves, you can take care of them. He's talking about two things here. Go over and fix the drains. They need drains put on. Buy them. And then when they can't live in the house, take care of them is the encouragement, one way or another. Question, have you been honoring your parents? If not, you've been sinning. But you can repent of that now and change that today. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.